Welcome to the Pantheon Plus Rewind.
Well met, my friends. Welcome to episode 46 of the Rewind. I hope everyone's having a great day or night, wherever you are in the world. But for the next hour or so, we're all going to be in the world of Terminus, as the show is all about Pantheon Rise of the Fallen, the upcoming MMORPG by Visionary Realms. Each week, we try to bring you the community together for discussions about issues and anything else you really want to talk about. And I think that my valiant co-host would agree that this week, maybe more than any other so far, we got to live in that world just a little bit more than usual. And we're going to try to bring you that today. So speaking of my co-host, my valiant co-host, Minus, I feel like we've hung out every night this week, man. Do we even have lives outside of this anymore? Like, is there anything else beyond this?
See, what's happening is you're just coming into my world now. You know, you used to get a little bit of a break here and there while I was doing all the nonsense like website and networking. And now, yeah, this is what it's like.
I could live here. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, sometimes we'll, you know, off camera or when we're just chatting or planning stuff, like, oh, we have nothing to talk about, or what are we going to do? And then, you know, the rewind goes an hour and 15 minutes. Like, oh, I guess there's a lot to talk about. Yeah. But yeah, sure. Now it's like, there's so much to talk about. So stick around for this episode too, because we're going to have a pretty big announcement here at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Right. So very excited to announce that. It is a big deal. So stick around right at the end of the show. We'll announce that. And in a little bit here, we'll announce when my video is going to be live for everybody. So a couple teasers there. What do you think? Is that good?
Yeah, nice. I like it. I like how we're going to sprinkle them throughout the show and kind of have fun with that. So yeah. So we'll, before we get to that though, we got to do our weekly adventuring party call outs. So this week, our adventuring party includes Walking Waste playing the Dwarf Cleric, Crow Singing on the Halfling Druid, Sparrow on the Elf Druid, Bounty Code on the Human Paladin, and We Smoke Bitcoins on the Elf Summoner. He actually clarified last week that he likes his race as the Elf. He didn't say if Summoner was okay, so he's still a Summoner by as far as I can tell.
Maybe so, one day we'll know his true race identity and his class.
Maybe, yeah, his class. Maybe he'll decide when the game actually comes out.
There you go.
But so if you want to join the party this week, make sure to give your future Pantheon racing class in the chat when you donate so we can add you. And, you know, of course, as always, a huge thank you to those that choose to support the show. It is extremely, extremely appreciated.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in there too, Derek. Yeah. And just, you know, one thing I do want to say is, like, listen, we're very, very appreciative of the support you guys give. I just want to reiterate, you know, if you feel like donating to us is worth your while and it helps us, trust me, we love it. But if you're someone who's like, I really don't have money to spend on this stuff, you know, like just hitting a thumbs up, subscribing to us, following us on Twitch, like just that kind of stuff, following us on Twitter, having conversations with us, joining our Discord, you know, all that stuff helps, right? Like all that stuff gives us this opportunity to talk about the things we're going to talk about today and be a part of these awesome exclusive events like we were this week, you know? So trust me, I just want to make sure you guys know that we do not take any support at any level for granted. And we thank you guys so much. And we promise everything that you guys put in from an effort, from a time, or whether it's monetary into us, we promise to reflect it back out in some way, shape, or form. And it's really important to me to say that. That's why we don't have a patron. You know, we don't really push this kind of thing very often across all of our media. We have a store that I made just to buy my own shirt. in the future, yeah, you know, we may look into patron. We may try to get more out of this and be able to do more for you guys. But it's very humbling. It almost makes me feel awkward. Like, oh my gosh, do we deserve this? You know, Theric, that sounds weird. But when I get down sometimes, or I get tired, or I find it hard to continue forward sometimes just from life stress and everything around it, like to know how much everybody cares and to know the lengths that people will go to support us it really gets me through some tough times and it's awesome. It creates motivation. It's so many things. There's not really words to explain it, but I hope you guys get what I'm trying to say. It's just a big thank you. So
Yeah. Well said. No, absolutely. It's fuel in the tank. It's water in the well. It's just everything. So definitely. And related to that, I'm going to give a huge congratulations to the winner from our giveaway last week. Stephen Caruso won himself $100 pledge to support Pantheon's development. And I spoke with him a bit. We had some email conversations back and forth afterwards. And I can't even express to you how excited he was. He was through the roof about winning this pledge. He said he's a regular listener. And he's been following Pantheon for quite a few years now. Also said he never wins anything. So he was just like completely blown away. It's great. It was a great feeling to see that happen. So congrats, dude. Welcome. And keep listening. And everyone out there, we're going to do more fun stuff like this for sure. Like Minus said, we're going to use the resources we have to put them back into the show. And do some more giveaways down the road, definitely. So, and speaking of the road, we got a lot to talk about. So what do you think? Want to get the show rolling?
Let's get going.
Okay.
This week in Visionary Realms news and notes. All right. So typically we'll jump around Twitter. We'll talk about any big news that VR puts out. But this week we are really just going to stay focused on talking about the gameplay session from the evaluation build that Theric, myself, Bazgrim, and Nathan got to take part in. On Pantheon Plus U this week, which will be up on YouTube on demand by now if you haven't heard it. We answered a lot of questions from the community. We took questions in Discord. We took questions in Twitch, and we took it live on the air. And what I wanted to do today is really just have a one-on-one discussion with Theric. We didn't really even get a chance to talk through these things, right?
That's right. Yeah, we didn't really.
We've been so busy with video editing and communicating and planning, and we haven't really got to sit down. So what you're about to hear is pretty natural. This isn't even scripted. We just wrote a couple bullet points, and we're going to talk through some things. So some of it's things that I found important or wanted to address, and some of the stuff is Theric wanted to address, and we kind of just rant and roll here for a bit, if you're good with that, Theric.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some bullet points, but like you said, usually we do a little more scripted, formal than this, but this is just going to be off the cuff discussion.
Yeah. So I'm going to just get the elephant out of the room. There's a few people on some different commenting boards, whether it's, Twitter, YouTube,
mostly Reddit,
that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people complaining that during the video I talked too much. So listen, first, I'm not going to deny that. Everybody who listens to our content knows I love to talk. It's not about hearing my own voice. It's the just being excited. I'm a talker. I love to have conversation. That's what we do on this show. You know that. Before we even start the show, how long do we usually talk?
At least 20 minutes.
And anyone who's, jumped in a voice chat with me, it's what I do. It's what I enjoy. So I'm not going to apologize for that. And I'm not going to say you're wrong. I definitely do talk too much. I do want to just give some perspective, though, because anyone who saw it as rude, that's really not true. And again, I'm not sitting here trying to hold up a shield or anything, but I think it's important that you understand what we wanted to do. So first, this stream was not a Q&A session. It was never meant to be a Q&A session. And the only reason Ronick was there to be in our group was to, play that role and to film it, but just to be a player. Joppa jumped in just in case there were any issues or they had to address anything on the fly to help us if any bugs came up or anything like that. Same thing with like Ben and everybody else who was there to sort of support or answer any questions if we got stuck. Now, luckily, Joppa and a few others got into some discussion as well, and we got some cool info, but that was never the point of this. The whole point was that we were supposed to play this demo as a group playing it naturally. It wasn't supposed to be an interview. It wasn't supposed to be a Q&A. It was supposed to be a real experience in Pantheon going through a difficult dungeon. And we knew ahead of time that they were going to crank up the difficulty of the dungeon. Now, obviously, they commented on Pantheon Plus U, the bosses weren't quite where they wanted to be. But the time to kill and the regular mobs, we had one bad pull and we died, we had that was our only real wipe, if you want to call that that. And what we talked about is the original way this was going to go is that we had 2 hours to play on our own, explore around, Theric's looking at lore, everybody's doing what they want to do, trying to solve puzzles or whatever. And then we were going to have 1 hour to play group play. And that's what you guys were going to see on that stream. And of course, you'll get to see the rest of what we did on our videos that are coming up. So if you think about it, we actually ended up getting 1 hour and 40 minutes because things were going really well and everybody was having a lot of fun. And even, Joppa, Ronick comment on that quite a bit, right, Theric? So they gave us 40 more minutes I understand that I was being a little abrasive with leading. Now, we discussed before we started that that's how it was going to be. Listen, straightforward. Anybody who's ever played any MMORPG with me, I like to lead. It's common. I can turn it off if it's asked to, but most of the time people are cool with it. And I told people straightforward. I said, hey, if you guys are cool with it, I will scout, I will lead, I will communicate, and I'll get us through this dungeon and we're going to look like $1 million because I know as a team we can do this. Let me lead if you guys are cool with it. And everybody, at least from my understanding, was super cool with it there, right? Like that was our 100%. Plan.
Yeah. No, I want to just stop you there for a quick second because, you know, I'm glad this issue came up. I'm actually kind of glad. I didn't like to see the comments, you know, being critical of your approach to this, but I'm glad it came up because this is actually a really important aspect of what playing an MMO looks like, right? You get into a group, there's sometimes you have either too many leaders or no leaders at all, right? Get those groups where everybody wants to be in charge or the ones where everybody's just sitting around going, I don't know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I don't know. And nobody knows what to do. Right. So you get this, you know, when you see somebody take charge, like you did, and we had agreed on it, you're right. We totally had discussed this. This was the plan. And I don't know how anybody can not be appreciative of somebody who's willing to be a strong leader and, take the charge and lead the group to where they need to go and accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. Yes, we want to have fun and discuss along the way, but being a leader like that, there's no benefit to you. You don't get any extra XP out of it. You don't get extra loot because you're doing this. This is a completely risk, no reward situation for you, you know? So it bugs me, but I'm also glad it came up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, guys, is think about it. So, you know, I was pushing us forward. Some people said I was interrupting people or talking over Joppa. I never tried to talk over Joppa. But there were times where legitimately, if we sat in some of the areas we were in and just talked, we were going to get respawns on, so we're going to die. And I personally don't feel like you guys watching us die and rinse and repeat and die and rinse and repeat was going to be a very fun stream at all. Like, you know, you guys saw a casual stream already with Ko. I wanted to show you guys what we're capable of with a group who knows what they're doing, a group who's mostly familiar with one another. Theric, myself, and Nathan play MMORPGs every Tuesday on MMO classes 101. So, you know, Bazgrim was a little new to playing with us, and Ronix even played D&D online with us a while ago. So, you know, the big thing here was in 1 hour, I want to get us through this content. I want to show what we're capable of. I want to flex a little. I want us as a group to flex a little. Nothing wrong with that, right? You don't want your nerd card revoked.
Exactly.
But also, again, we were only supposed to have an hour. So think about this. Even at the pace that I was pushing us at, which was an aggressive pace for sure. Even at that pace, it still took us an hour and 40 minutes to get through that. Imagine if we didn't plan that and we just kind of casually did it, we wouldn't have been able to show you guys like any content. And who knows if we would have had that extra time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things where you don't know what you're getting because, you know, the alternative wasn't available. Like, yeah, everybody wanted to see the content. It's just that to do that, you have to accept this. You have to accept this aspect of it. I'm glad you're not, you know, I'm glad that it's sort of water off your back a little bit because you're used to this kind of thing. And, you know, it's just, I
am. I'm very used to it now. It doesn't bother
me
much.
You're much better at that than I am. I'm glad. I don't know if I could handle the criticism as well, but you do a great job and you led the group well. We accomplished what we wanted to do. And I think that's.
I think we all had fun. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I mean, we were,
you know, we did.
Ranting everybody at the end of it, right? So again, it's not me sitting here trying to defend myself. I do talk too much, 100%. Did I have to repeat things certain times where I could have just said it once? Probably not. I was just frantically pushing a pace. I wanted to show that in this stream, it was going to be different than watching a casual playthrough or like, again, no knock on Ko, but Ko's playthrough was kind of slow and methodical and talking. This was supposed to be different. This was supposed to be, what does real gameplay look like? It wasn't a Q&A. Once again, it wasn't supposed to be there to get beans. It was supposed to show this is what Pantheon is. I thought we did a good job of that. And I thought everybody had a role in that. That didn't have to do just with me. Nathan did a great job tanking. Bazgrim was great healing, even when he had to face tank things. And, you know, you were back there and you saw your progression through the night as a wizard. So I don't know. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I think sometimes people just don't want to see the picture of what actually was supposed to be. And instead, you start dreaming this vision outside of it. But that was what this was supposed to be. And I think we did a good job.
It was a rounding success. And, you know, everybody, VR, us, there were, I mean, nobody was dissatisfied. And especially the comments from VR at the end of the night we got were very positive, very happy with what they saw. And, you know, what else do you want? Right. That's it. So,
yeah. So let's jump to topic two. I don't want to keep harping on it again. I'm not trying to defend myself. I just want to at least clarify the picture of what we were trying to achieve. I think it was important there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right. So number two, at the end of Pantheon Plus, you last night, we made an announcement that I don't think a lot of people expected. If you weren't there to watch it at the end of the night, well, here you go. Theric, what did we see?
What are you talking about? Are you talking about Fairytale?
Yeah.
You totally lost me there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, so here's the thing. When we started this, we were going to go into Fortress Defiair. That was our expectation. But what ended up happening is we got dropped into Fairytale. About a half an hour before we were supposed to start the actual playthrough. And we were told we could basically wander around Fairytale, do whatever we wanted, you know, take a look around. And I, you know, as you can imagine, we were all super excited. We were all just sort of, you know, oh my gosh, kid in a candy store kind of thing. And I sat here today rewatching. Now, we can't show what we saw, but we can talk about it, right? That's where we're good.
They told us we could, yep.
Yeah. So kind of like when you told your story before about your PA experience, but we couldn't show it. I kind of want to give our listeners a little bit of a audio tour of what we saw in Fairytale. And I'm going to start by just saying what you've seen from the making of Fairytale stream and when they've showed Fairytale in the past doesn't do justice to what it is. Okay. The scale of this place is unbelievable in terms of you look up and the trees are immense. The mountains in the background are, you know, incredible. So I wish I could sort of show you, but I'm going to take you a little tour of what I did. So I started out, I walked down the path. I found a spriggan, right? This was right by there was a portal that was going to take us to the fortress. And that's where the spriggan was. So I you know, went up, talked to the spriggan, and I was tempted to do a lot of things that I knew I probably shouldn't do. And one of the things, one of the only sort of guidelines we were told was don't talk to certain NPCs. It might screw up things a little bit. And so I was very careful about this. Anyway, I went up and visited with the spriggan. I wandered around a little more. I found a stream. There was a verdant proudhorn, which is like a stag creature. And we've seen that on the previous streams. It was friendly to my approach. And we sort of had a knowing exchange. And I commented to the stag that I was impressed by the grandeur of Oldwood. And there was a fallen tree beside me with hollowed out that I could walk through that was so large that it was daunting to actually step inside. I followed the stream north for a bit. The river was flowing south and you could hear the rush, you know, to my side. I poked my head inside some roots of a massive Oldwood tree, which has a little enclosure in it. I circled the forest. I didn't want to go too far astray because I wanted to sort of stay within range of the portal in case we had to suddenly go. And I spied a halfling rogue dashing across a distant rocky outcropping, right? And I had to go over and investigate because I wanted to see what my rogue friend was up to. So as I did that, I came to this outcropping and I looked down and there was another spriggan down, you know, a decent distance. I would have been a decent fall, but there was another spriggan down there. And I really wanted to go and talk to that spriggan as well, but I was worried I wouldn't be able to get back to where I was supposed to be. But I took the leap of faith anyway and jumped down. And although that spriggan wouldn't talk to me, she did allow me to pass. I continued on the path. There were some, you know, the colors, bright, beautiful colors, all the foliage. And I've done a video about the foliage in this area of Oldwood before. And I was taken aback because I was trying to remember the names of all these places. I actually debated taking a swim in the river as well, but I was diverted from that idea when I saw this massive waterfall that it led to, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you saw that too, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So I went over the top of the waterfall. I wanted to get a really good view and I was completely awestruck. I looked over. It was this vast valley, you know, misty mountains, just drenched in sunlight. And it was incredible. It was very impressive. There was a bridge nearby that spawned about halfway out into the valley. And I wanted to go over and check that out too. So I went over there. And of course, I wanted to see this in first person. So I actually switched my view to the first person view. And once I got to the edge, that feeling of heights overtook me as I looked over the edge of the broken bridge. It was pretty amazing. I wish you've seen screenshots from their VR streams of Fairytale, and in the moment it looks as good as a screenshot does. Sometimes live, you know, in the moment animation, the actual being in the environment doesn't quite look as good in real time, but it did. So So I left the bridge, went back. I saw Nymir. Now, this is where we get interesting. The Nymir was a spriggan we saw in the other Fairytale stream. And I decided that this next part, I'm kind of ashamed of and proud of at the same time, because I tried to hail her unsuccessfully. And in doing so, I inadvertently attacked the spriggan. So my little pathetic, you know, level one human wizard punches were like not even a mosquito to this great spriggan creature. And my heart started racing and I swore and I backed away. And to my relief, she didn't recognize my sad attack as any kind of a threat. So she didn't retaliate. I believed my little aggressive tendencies here were sort of stowed for the moment. And I ran back along the north path and said, okay, don't attack spriggans, right? I came to the old one and the sight stone we saw in the previous thing and the previous stream. And I can tell you that they've actually looking quite a bit different. They're quite a bit improved. The model was quite different, which was kind of interesting. And I didn't get close enough to the old one to really interact with them. And I'm glad, because I was pretty sure my auto attack was still off. And so I was confident in that. Anyway, I continued to walk around. I actually met up with Basgrim for a bit. He invited me to a group. We grouped up. And we still had a bit of time before we were going to head in. I wanted to climb up to a high spot, so I wanted to experience the climbing. So I scaled this rock that was out in the middle of the forest. And when you climb up to a high space and you get that vista, I do that in every game I can. And I wanted to see what I could see. I found another creature, a Veil Strider Alpha, which is like a golden wolf type animal, sort of just roaming around. And I wanted to see what it was. Yeah. It was pretty cool. It's like, it's got the like bioluminescent green sort of streaks in it. It's very cool. Anyway, so I went over to it, you know, peacefully to express my interest and forgetting my auto attack was actually still on, auto attacked the Veil Strider and became the first non-developer to die in the Old Wood Forest. And I think that, you know, even though I was playing a wizard, the devs maybe wanted to give me the ranger experience by dying in the forest there. So I'm very proud to say I'm the world first non-developer to die in the Old Wood Forest. And that's just a brief story about my experience in Fairytale. It was a lot of fun. We met up as a group and set off on our little trek to the Devire Fortress. But what about you? What did you see in Fairytale?
Yeah, you know, again, the scale was very impressive, actually overwhelming at times with how big mm-hmm. it was. The waterfall that we saw was incredible. I actually went and crossed the water. There was like a big area of like stones. It almost looked like druid stones or something that was purposefully cool. put there. So kind of peeked at that from a distance. And then, you know, really just kind of looked around for a bit before, you know, I jumped in. I actually, right before I jumped into the fortress, I saw you and Baz standing together and you were at half health. And I just assumed that you had fell. You know, and something happened, but you were dead. And that's so fantastically great. I too stumbled across, you know, the old one and the big tree, right? So that was kind of neat. I also was like too nervous to get too close. I don't know why. It's so weird to say that. It was just kind of like, it was overwhelming how big it was. I climbed some trees. I got really high up. I didn't see any gray bucks. Am I going to say there isn't any? No, because I don't know. But in the area I was able to look at and see, I didn't see any gray boxing except for a mountain mm-hmm. peak that was probably so far away. I don't even know if I could have gotten to it. It was far. Cause I had my draw distance up pretty high. So it was just very impressive. It was, you know, I'm sad we can't show the footage, but it doesn't mm-hmm. take away from us being able to talk about it, which is cool. So I'll stick with being pretty happy about that. But I think there's been a lot of questions in the community about Fairytale and like, where is it? What's going on? And it's freaking beautiful. It was so cool.
Yeah, it's everything that it's everything you think it is. I mean, and what you see is what you get when you watch those VR streams. So someday, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to go in there and record some stuff and show it off. But man. It was very impressive. I feel like there's so many conversations with those spriggans that I wanted to have. And I was regretting it too. Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't go and visit with can't remember her name, but the giant spriggan in the tree with the seedling in her hand. I saw her rewatching, you know, what I was doing and I saw her and I thought, oh, I didn't go and talk to her. I felt really,
I didn't really either. I got nervous.
And I never knew where the boundaries were. I never knew where the invisible walls were, and I didn't want to hit into one. So I just sort of stuck and stayed in my lane a little bit. But
they put some, you know, obviously this is a developer evaluation build, so it's able to show publishers, right? Like, we should make sure we say that. So this is a piece of it anyway. And, you know, there's sections that are walled off just so that the experience for this, you know, publisher or someone that might check it out just kind of is a little guided. So keep in mind that. But I think I hit one wall, but it wasn't, that was it. I mean, and I traveled quite a bit around, so.
Yeah. Anyway, great experience, unexpected experience, and very grateful that, you know, and I'm grateful that even though we can't show, we can talk about it. I think that's very generous of VR to allow us to do that. So that's awesome. But let's move on to the next one, the support rogue minus. You created this type of rogue specifically for this experience, knowing what your role would be in the group. Why don't you tell us about that, your reflections?
Yeah, it was, I mean, you guys got to see it on full display. You know, one of the things I want to point out there is, you know, the main ability I was using was called Smoke Trick. So Smoke Trick is the mez. It's got good range. It takes opportunity to cast, but as long as you have opportunity, you can cast it. It does not have a cooldown. I expect it will probably have a cooldown or a limit to how many people you can use it on in the future. That I do think that will happen, that maybe you can get it better with mastery because it doesn't currently have mastery. So the smoke trick is, and I've talked about Smoke Trick before. I talked about it quite a bit in the rogue video I made. It's awesome, but it wasn't that simple. And I want to make sure people know that. And I'm not trying again to beat my chest here, but there's more to it than just casting Smoke Trick and being elite. So the first thing is that I had full mastery in sneak. And when you do that, you get one opportunity every like 2 seconds or something. So when I'm in stealth, I'm able to cast that a lot. Now, the issue is that when I'm not in stealth, I can't earn opportunity and I can Smoke Trick, but I'll run out and there's no way for me to get back into stealth in combat unless I have an ability called Flash Bomb. And Flash Bomb takes opportunity to cast. No. And the only way to get opportunity is typically in stealth, but I also had my mastery max in an ability called Blackjack Kick. And Blackjack Kick, if you land it successfully, will get you one opportunity, but it's on a long cooldown. So what would happen is if I got my stealth broken, whether it was from getting attacked or getting spotted or the crystals that were everywhere, if I took any damage from being next to a crystal for even a split second too long, I was out of stealth. So there was a lot to manage, and some of it was bolstered by a few other abilities. I also had a root trap that was helpful. So there was kind of a combination of knowing when I could stop focusing on the CC to help burn something. Positioning was really important. So it wasn't, I don't want people to sit here and be like, wow, rogues are OP, easy class. They're definitely OP. Like, I'm going to tell everybody right now, they're really strong. I think they're really strong for a few reasons. One, it's a very fleshed out class in comparison to like the wizard, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. I think that the rogue is a little more fleshed out, a little more intricate, a little bit more polished than probably any class, to be completely honest with you right now.
I think you're 100% right.
Yeah. And then so what people were upset about that I've read a lot is that, you know, okay, well, if you're going to be support, one of the things even Joppa said is, you know, you're not going to do any DPS when you're stealth. So our time to kill on mobs is a lot longer than it probably would be if we had an enchanter doing it, right? And keep in mind, were a group of five instead of a group of six. So, you know, then the comment was, well, when you were DPSing, you were doing the most damage, right? I think that there were a few things to really take into consideration here. And Theric, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I have a lot of experience playing the rogue right now. I've done it in almost every open test that I've been able to be a part of. So I have quite a bit of hours in the rogue. And Theric, you've sort of been a jack of all trades. So
you kind of jumped around. I've played every class. I haven't played the shaman yet. So
You did. I thought you did.
No, I don't think I played the shaman for any of them.
Okay. So, but anyway, so I have a lot of experience playing, but there's another thing too, and it's kind of the next point. So I'll wrap it in together if that's okay with you, Theric, crafting piece. And I'll jump into, we'll joke a little bit about that here in a second. So to give everybody an idea is the base weapon that I was given, which I'd imagine was pretty close to the base weapons of everybody else. I had a 7 to 15 physical damage weapon that translated to 5 DPS. Okay. That was my training knife that I had two of. So I crafted a few daggers. I spent a decent amount of time crafting, which you guys will see when my footage comes out. The daggers I was using at the end of the night. So remember, I started with 7 to 15, 5 DPS. The daggers I was using at the end of the night were 13 to 25, 7.9 DPS with plus 3 strength on each one.
Wow.
So,
and they looked sweet.
Well, so here's a couple things. Number one, the flat out DPS, because remember, white damage is important in this game. Pantheon's going back to white damaging being a big thing. So number one, I just had a lot more physical damage. And then you had 3 strength on both weapons. That's a really big deal. And actually, no, I take that back. I think I had 3 dex on one of them, but still. Yeah. 3 strength is a lot of strength. Remember, this game does not just give stats out. That's a big, beefy dagger. So having two of those plus a little bit of experience. So technically I was a little over geared than the rest of the team when it came to damage. And plus as the night went on, Theric, you started to beat me in a lot of fights. Once you got a little more comfortable with like how to spend your mana, what to conserve for the next pull, stuff like that. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of factors that were into me at times leading DPS while also, you know, being able to take a fight and be support and then take a fight and be DPS. You know, typically if I was support, I was not the number one DPS like that. Yeah. So
that's what I noticed too, is that it was very fight dependent on what that fight called for. And that's the flexibility that your class being, like I said earlier, more intricate, really allowed for. It was interesting just to see that because, and again, we don't know, at least I couldn't tell where some of the power was coming from sometimes. So you talk about your daggers with the stats on them, you know, was your power coming from those? I mean, plus 3 is a big deal, like you said, but was it coming from that? Was it coming from the mastery that you put into your skills? Mm-hmm. Was it coming from your positioning? And, you know, was the RNG of a critical hit in there somewhere? It's always hard to sort of parse it a little bit, but I was very impressed because, I mean, like with the CC you had to do, and there were fights where you were doing CC and the damage output was considerable, more than mine, for sure. So that's saying something, right?
It was fun. I definitely expect it to be nerfed. I think anybody who's panicking too much, there's a lot of people that want to talk about why the rogue shouldn't be able to do these things because of the enchanter. I don't think that's fair right now. I think that we need to see the enchanter fully fleshed out before we can sit here and kind of say the rogue shouldn't be able to do this because I don't have any buffs. I don't buff the group at all.
Yeah.
So I can CC and lock stuff down and not DPS while I'm doing it. The enchanter could probably do the exact same thing. And then my guess would be buff the group, debuff enemies. Like I can't do any of that. I'm going to do damage and a little bit of support or utility, right?
And let's be honest. I mean, you, like you said, this was high level play. Like you're playing at a very high level with this character, with this class that you have now considerable experience with. If another enchanter somebody playing an enchanter new to the class is able to do the crowd control tactics that you were able to pull off, that's fine, right? No rogues, you know, what's the curve, the bell curve on the rogue that's going to be able to pull off some of the CC tricks that you were doing? I think it's pretty small. I think you're looking at that very tail end of the bell curve, right? One way or the other. I don't think a lot of people could do it, but a baseline enchanter in the middle of the bell curve probably could do those things, right? Which is fine. Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, and so, I'll be honest with you, if they have to pick one or the other, I'd rather them lower my DPS. The support utility is, it reminds me a little of D&D Online. Like D&D Online is very, very heavy with a rogue out in front, you know, patrolling, looking for traps, looking for secret walls, you know, stealthy killing things. Yeah.
Yeah. Let the wizard be the blaster, right? Like if you, it's interesting. I like that you like that aspect of it. And it's not just a DPS number, you know, the numbers aren't the be all end all for you with your class. And I think that's the right idea. And,
well, and keep in mind, we couldn't see that. So you know, we didn't see those DPS numbers or have any idea they existed until we watched with all of you because it was from Ronick's point of view and he saw that. We didn't see that. So I wasn't doing anything to try to like max out DPS. I was, you know, I just playing the class. There were a few things I like to make sure I did that I had on rotation, so to speak. And I just did it and it worked. It was efficient to what we were doing as well. So it's kind of nice to see it all play out.
I'm just going to add quickly to the crafting piece before we move on to I talk about the wizard a little bit. But I did some crafting too. I did some cooking, which was a whole lot of fun. I got to tell you, I mean, it was very basic, like, you know, as you might expect. I found a recipe book, gave me some ideas. I ended up making four different dishes. And I think I was chatting with you guys during the during our playtime and telling you what I was making. And I was
me any of that food. I just thought about that.
I didn't. You're right. I gave one to Nathan, but I didn't give one to you. I didn't have one with Dex on it, I think. Because strength, buddy. So what I did, what's that?
I'm all strength right now anyway. So.
Oh, well, I should have given you one because I definitely had one with strength. But I ate it myself because Joppa has said strength for wizards is not necessarily a useless stat, right? Remember, he's commented maybe like, you know.
Throwing how hard you throw the fireball.
That's right. You're forceful of your fireballs. So I thought maybe if I eat this, because I made four meals. Each of them had the same basic template. They were plus one different stats that last for 15 minutes. So I had a strength one, a stamina one, an intellect one, and a wisdom one, I think. And I gave the stamina one to Nathan because I thought he could use it. And I just ate the other ones for myself when we got to Hyoket. So nice. I boosted my stats up. With
Oh, you
my
ate all three meal. Of them for the boss?
I did. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I just completely and boosted my stats. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I didn't check. I was sort of in the moment. I should have checked, but I didn't. But I can tell you that it was fish, meat, apples, and mushrooms. That was the combination I made four different meals with. And it was pretty cool. And I remember making at the time in Joppa, you know, was sort of like mentioning I think he liked that I was making some meals in the little cooking station there. So
awesome. Yeah, I had fun. Yeah. It was interesting. So I get there. And remember, we haven't seen a successful craft outside of like the little Ronic piece. So I'm sitting there with like all these different ores and these like bars and signet things. And so I'm sitting there trying to put it all together and I can't figure it out. And I'm like almost stressed out to be like, all right, forget it. I'm not going to do this. And there's a little book on the table. So I'm sitting here reading through this book that explains how a signet works, explains how a metal bar works and how this piece is needed to make these style of things. And if you're making a small weapon and you may only need one bar, if you're making a large weapon, you may need X amount of bars. So I'm like, okay. And so the very first couple daggers I made didn't have like the enhancements on them. They're just called phantom daggers. They just had the DPS. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, I need to make a blade. So I make a small dagger blade with a mold and a bar after I make the bar. And then I have to put it on a hilt that I luckily had. And I could have made my own hilts as well. It looked like I had a leather hilt. I don't know if I could have made, you know, a metal hilt. I don't know. And at the end, remember, we got that hilt, but it was for a sword.
That's right. Yeah.
So I eventually learned like where the hilt was so I could go get another one and then made some stuff. And towards the end of the night when we were waiting to go and start the stream, when Ronick was setting up, I realized that I had that dust. What is it? The Celestium? The
Celestium dust. Yeah.
Yeah. And one was of might and one was of dexterity or something. I don't think they were called that. It was like might and something. And I'm like, wait a second. Like if I make the bars with this, maybe I can make. So when you guys were all getting ready, I'm like, I'll be right back, guys. And you'll see it in my video. I like run to try this and it worked. So, you know, you had to make the actual bar with the dust. Then you took the bar, put it into the mold for the dagger blade, made the dagger blade that was of might, and then you put it on the hilt. So what's cool is like, so you would be able to technically make your blade with enhancements and even maybe make your hilt with enhancements if I actually made the hilts. So it was, again, very base level, but it was not bad. You know, for a guy who complains about crafting, it wasn't bad.
I was just going to say, I nearly fell off my chair when I was wandering around the fortress. We're in different parts of the fortress. I'm doing my own thing, whatever. And I see mine, we're grouped. So I see your bar, your name is on the left side of my screen. And, you know, when somebody casts a spell, you can see it sort of moving, you know what they're doing. And I see, you know, forging and it's moving the bar. I'm like, mine is like, what's going on? He's crafting something. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm like, of all the things you could have done, you went and chose to go and do some crafting and you totally redeemed yourself for the crafting community. So I'm very, very impressed by that, I must say.
But, you guys will see some crafting in my stream at two different points. When I first make the basic phantom daggers, then when I'm like, wait a second, maybe I can make more powerful ones. And when it worked, I was like so excited. If you look at my face, like when I made the the spike. When I made the first daggers, I was like, ooh. And then like when I made the ones with the extra stats, I'm like, oh boys, here we go. You know,
well, that's so great. That's so great. That's probably why we'll talk about the spider boss in a minute, but why they put that dagger on the spider boss, because they thought you'd never craft a dagger better than what that had, but we'll get to that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the wizard class. Do you want to give people, you're going to go way in depth on this, so you don't have to go crazy, but you want to give people a little taste of what it was like to play the wizard?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a few points I made. So first of all, you know, the wizard fantasy is having massive, powerful spells that direct damage, you know, just pile driver spells. And that I felt that there's several times in the playthrough when you see me talking about how I felt the oomph of a spell absolutely level a spider or take off a significant amount of health on one of the Hyoket shields that we fought. I think that the power level of the wizard spells with regard to the fire spells were great. I felt really good about that. The focus mechanic. So if you don't know what how the wizard sort of works, just a sort of Cole's notes on it is every time I cast a spell of the same focus type consecutively, I gain a spell damage, spell crit, and spell haste to that type of spell. So I benefit from doing 5 fire spells in a row. By the time I get to the end one, it's at its peak. I was hitting for 300 some odd damage. Good. Yeah. I've heard suggestions talk about maybe changing that up and maybe looking at more of a mix and match, because once you cast a spell from a different focus, you lose all the focus you've gained up to that point.
Well, so, we saw in the past though, and I don't know if it's on the site now, but in the old site, there was something that allowed eventually you'd be able to get for the wizard that would allow you to keep your fire stacks.
Yes, no matter there's what. A familiar spell. You can summon a familiar that allows you to maintain your fire spells. Now, that wasn't in. I didn't have access to that, which would have been very cool. Like you said, and we talked about earlier, the wizard is not, I don't feel, as developed as the rogue is in terms of the skills. The utility of the wizard was basically limited to an interrupt and a silence, which is very brief.
Right.
The root comes from, I'm trying to remember which spell it was. You'll see it in my video. I'll talk about it a little bit, but honestly, I didn't find it to be that useful in the moment. Of course, it takes time to get used to the class and get the nuances, but I think the utility, there was also, I had a spell that could lower fire and ice resistance, which is good, but it's one of those situations where it takes up a spot on the spell bar. So I have to commit to either doing only fire or ice at that point, right? Which is okay. I don't mind that from the limited action set perspective. I didn't want to do that for this because I wanted to do everything. So once we got into the dungeon, I had both fire and ice on my bar without the resistance lowering spells. The mana regen. So there's 3 focus schools right now, fire, ice, and arcane. And the arcane spell, what it does is, again, more consecutively you cast, the more it returns. It does a small amount of damage, but its main function is to return mana. So I have mana regen capabilities with the arcane focus line that I felt worked really well. I was really in control of my mana capacity at all times. When I got low, you'll see it when we fight Hyoket. I get low and then I say I'm going to regen a little bit and I need to just cast that several times in a row. By the time I did that, I was back to 50% of my mana. So I like that. It was interesting. It felt good. I didn't feel like it was overly challenging, but that's okay. And it's not just fully developed yet. And I didn't have access to obviously every tool that the class has, is going to have.
Yeah.
I looked pretty good in a robe. Finding that robe early on in the night was pretty sweet because I loved how it looked. Yeah. You know, it's not obviously a wizard class specific thing, but I did think the animations were awesome. The projectile
was cool, and that's new, right? The projectile effects was something that was recently added.
That's right. And before, it would just, you'd cast it and the mob would sort of have a explosion, you know, around them of that type. This now, you saw the fireball travel from my hands to the mob. It actually lit up the room several times, right? Yeah. Which was cool. Again, part of the wizard fantasy, I think. So, that's an overview of my experience with the wizard class. Like I said, you said earlier, the night went on, I definitely got a better sense of our pacing with the fights. So I knew how much I could go all in and how much I needed to hold back. At the beginning, I was being very conservative And then I started to let it loose a little bit further on in the night. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing the wizard, I have to say. If I can't play a ranger, I'll play a DPS class at least.
Yeah, awesome. And you got, like I said, you guys are going to probably see a more fleshed out full, you know, video about how this class is playing right now too, which is exciting. So
yeah, that's next. That's the first video I'm going to do is going to be a spotlight on the wizard skills. I'm going to show the mastery. I'm going to show the details. I'm going to show all the information about every single spell I had access to, the animations associated with those spells. And then you're going to see me using them in the combat and the gameplay section.
Awesome.
But yeah, so that's the wizard class. But what about our biggest enemy was not necessarily the mobs, but
the darkness.
Minus, you want to touch on the darkness of the caverns?
Yeah, so there were a lot of people complaining how dark the footage was. And just a heads up, I think Nathan actually increased the gamma in his, so we'll see if that helps viewing. So here's the thing. I have often thought that it will be a different type of viewer who watches people play Pantheon, because it's not going to be as quick and crazy as WoW or some of the Korean MMOs, right? It's a little slower paced. So it's very different watching it from playing it. In my perspective, it's very different. The darkness of that area. Now, keep in mind, we could have carried torches. We didn't for at first because they had announced before that it broke rogue stealth. And if I couldn't have rogue stealth, we'd have been in a lot of trouble. Yeah. and then later, Joppa told us, no, it's not the case anymore. They took that away. Thank God for that. Mm-hmm. That was a huge bean for rogues out there, because the amount of torturing that could have been done to us with that would have been nightmarish. But, you know, so I get it from a viewer standpoint. There were a lot of people like, this is too dark. First, there's going to be classes that have light sources. That's a thing. It's in some of the different classes.
Yeah, rangers.
Yeah, there's going to be items that you can probably carry or get that will have light. But the thing was, is we were in a dungeon and it was dark and it was scary and it was everything around the corner was dangerous and the darkness made it scarier and searching made it tougher. And again, we weren't really carrying torches, so we kind of put some of that on ourselves. But I think the ambience and the immersion, there you go, of that area, the darkness was needed. It was scary at times.
Yeah. You remember we did our series on the PvE. We did a whole month of videos on PvE and how Pantheon's putting the E back in that equation, right? This is a great demonstration of that. The darkness was oppressive. It was an enemy we had to fight while we were there. And what do you do in two enemies in MMOs? You know, you overcome them. It shouldn't be easy, and it isn't going to be. And as long as you have a way to overcome an obstacle, that's fine by me. This was a natural darkness. Keep in mind, we're going to see unnatural darkness atmospheres. Can you imagine what that's going to look like?
Some
mobs can create. And the last thing I'll say is it gave contrast to the area. We saw areas with lighting. We wanted to go towards the light where these Celestium crystals were, but again, we got close to them and we had to take some damage. So you make a decision. Do you take the damage and see what you're doing? Although that necessarily, because of that green toxic climate on the screen, made that a little bit tricky too. But it's just I love that there was a decision and it was something we had to contend with, like a mob. You know, that was what made it cool for me.
I definitely agree. I think anybody who is sort of upset watching the stream with it being dark, I totally understand that. I think though, if you were playing, you would have definitely had a better appreciation for it. Again, real quick, then we'll get to some more stuff because we've been ranting and raving about this. We'd probably go on forever. The spider boss fight. So that was something we were able to see at the end of the night that, you know, we hadn't seen before. It was because they gave us a little extra time. We decided to jump down into the ravine and all of a sudden we see the grave mother. How cool was that? Mm-hmm.
This is very cool, man. It was finding it was probably more exciting than the fight, actually.
Yeah, 100%.
The fight was a little tame. It was sort of anticlimactic a little bit, but that's okay. You know, it's just a tuning issue. It's not like it's a design issue. But finding her was friggin' awesome. And anticipating the fight, you know, Baz was looking for poison resists.
We got Nathan, all buffed up, yep.
Yeah, we had to hold Nathan back. He kept floating in towards Grave Mother. You and I are, you know, laying into it with our damage because there was no CC needed for that fight. So it was just fun, you know.
Nathan was taking some pretty strong damage from a poison, but Ronik was able to like wipe it out. So there was some strategy. But yeah, more health would have made that a little more dangerous fight if that spider was a little beefier, maybe doing a little more poisoning, but it was cool.
Yeah. And there was another moment in our gameplay session that was sort of a similar discovery moment. And we called it "What's Out That Window," right? Because if you remember from the co-stream, there was a spot where there was a window to the outside of the fortress that he sort of ran by. He didn't look out really.
Before you tell your story though, I want to tell mine because mine wasn't exciting.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I looked out the window and there was just a guard standing there. Another guard came up and talked to him for a little bit and the guard left. That's all I saw. So that was and it was neat. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I couldn't see a whole lot. I'm shorter. You know, I was looking out the window. I'm like, okay, well, there's two guards out there. So then you saw what you saw.
Yeah, you missed out. You didn't stand there long enough because what happened was I was standing there for a good long time. I wanted to really catch every corner of what I could see. And I saw those guards and I looked up and there were some guards standing at a bit of a guard tower. And I just kind of sat there for a while and I looked away and then I looked back and in the distance, there was sort of this misty area with a backlit sort of by the moon. And in this misty area, I saw this gigantic sort of werewolf. It had to be a werewolf of some type, but massive werewolf creature just sort of standing there. And it was standing straight face on towards the window, sort of as if it was staring at me through the window. And then as I was watching it, it just sort of walked away slowly, like it was off to its next location. And I was blown away. I was so cool. It was such a cool moment. And then, of course, Bazergrim he showed up and he's playing a dwarf. He was so short, he couldn't see. So he was jumping up beside me to try and see out the window. He's like, "What did you see? What did you see?" I'm like, "There was a werewolf out there, man." It was so great. No, it was such a good moment. But yeah, you'll see that in some of my footage for sure.
Awesome. So what was your favorite moment? If you had to guess, I mean, it's a tough question, but.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say that the fight with Hyokat, and not because it was necessarily all that much of an epic fight. It was good, and we were prepared for it, though. We did a lot of prep, and we sort of were ready to strategize for this. But the reason I liked it so much is because it fit the template of what I think Pantheon delivers, what we want it to deliver on, but just at a scaled down. Once all the dispositions and manifestations are in, the type of strategizing we did and the sort of build-up, the anticipation of this fight is what is so exciting, right? We talked a lot during the week. We thought about it. And, Joppa commented during the fight, he was pleased to see with how we were, each class was doing something class specific. You know, the shaman was cannibalizing. And Nathan on the Dire Lord was doing, which is, by the way, the right exact kind of tank you want for this type of boss, a caster boss, absorbing the magical damage. And me as the wizard, unleashing these torrents of fire and then using my mana regen to get my mana back. And you, of course, were trying to get the adds, under control when needed. And I love the strategy of it. But that was my moment. What about you?
Oh, it's tough, man. It's really tough. There's some of the funny moments. Like, I love that right off the bat, I'm like, all right, guys, let's jump across this thing and we'll talk to this guard, and I fall all the way down instantly, and I'm like, okay guys, come on down. And Ronick made the point of, oh, see that guy's, he's leading, and he makes a mistake and he just pretends nothing happened and rechanges the plan. It made me laugh a lot when he said that. I thought that was a great Ronick timing there. I think the biggest thing for me was I felt like I did a really good job in the support role, and I had gotten into quite a debate in one of the discords with somebody, and I don't remember who it is, or I would give them credit, but they were just going off about how they'd never take a rogue to CC and that's ridiculous. And even though I was trying to explain to them that I thought you could, and there was this way to do it, they just didn't want to hear it. And they were telling me I was, almost not dumb, but like that I was out of my mind and no one would ever want a rogue and you have to have an enchanter. So there's like this little personal part of me that's like, I want this to work. That's why I was so into being a support more than DPS in this. And so it felt good.
Right. Nice. Well, that's great, man.
All right. Well, we just talked forever about this in the VR news and notes, and we still have a few sections to go through, but I think they're going to be a little shorter this week than we're accustomed to. So we'll still get you guys out on a relative good time here, but I will give everyone a heads up that you will be able immediately after this episode of The Rewind, you will be able to go to YouTube and on demand view my perspective of our gameplay session, which is about 3 hours and 20 minutes. I did get it into 2560 by 1440. It's not quite 4K, but it's close. I think it's like 2.5K or some crazy silly thing. But it should be in a very high def format for you guys to check out. I hope you enjoy it. You can check out some crafting. So again, that'll be available as soon as this is over on demand, not as a, it's not a watch party. It's not a premiere. You can watch it at your own pace and skip around. So that'll be up at 1 o'clock right after the rewind here.
Nice. Can't wait to see it.
All right, Derek, so let's get into the community discussion.
When the Pantheon community speaks, we listen. So let's dig into the forums and fan projects to see what the discussion's all about. Okay, so no big discussion this week, but we can't not introduce new members of the community. And we'd had a few weeks where we didn't have any intros, but that's changed up because we have several new community members to say hi to. So let's do that this week. First up is Merc that says, "Hi all, I finally pledged today after lurking for years. I played EQ for years on the ECI server," which is awesome because that was my server actually. I'm always on lookout for ECI people, and those are my peeps. So Merc says they were a human druid and played another gnome warrior. And good times, looking forward to getting into the game and exploring a new land. Next up was Zealoth. Quick one-liner from Zealoth. They said, "I've been lurking around for a while, figured I'd jump in and at least say hello." Next up was Coraline, and they said, "Hello, ladies and gents. I've been a creeper for years, and today I decided to finally pledge to support a game that I've been watching for a long time. I blame YouTube content creators for my hyped interest in Pantheon, the frequent dev streams, and the amazingly ambitious scope. As with most of you, I played EQ in 1999 and was a 40-plus hour a week player up through Omens of War. My favorite expansion has to be Planes of Power, although Lucklin was a lot of fun. I played dozens of MMOs through the years, most notably Rift, until it went free to play and the first expansion ruined it. Hope this will be become a place I frequent often, onward and upward." The next person was so excited they have the same name three times. It's Jeff. He says,
"But I can pronounce that. I like that name. Yeah, Jeff.
That's an easy one. Jeff. Yeah.
Hefe. So,
he says, "I'm excited for this game. I want to help make it happen and make it as good as it can be. So I pledge $250. My body is ready," as a famous quote from Reggie. And the next person, DK of K Love, cool name, says, "Hi, folks. For more years than I care to remember, I played a Chanty in EverQuest. I love the class, pushing the envelope of what it can do solo in groups. The versatility has been second to none outside of the Bard. Looking forward to Pantheon, been following the development for years, and oddly, thanks to COVID and lack of going out, I can finally afford some spare cash to support a game I truly look forward to." And then last but not least is Cretus, and they said, "Hello, I just wanted to check in. I'm very excited about the game, pledged to the Triumvirate level. I've been playing MMOs since Ultima Online and EQ, pretty much tested or played every big MMO since then. Looking forward to diving in. I love the classes and the gameplay. I usually play a healing class." So welcome to the new members of the community. Go over to the PantheonMMO.com forums if you want to stop in and say hi. I always do. I always, throw a hello in there and just let them know that people are actually listening. So I encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, welcome everybody. It's awesome. Thank you all for not only your love for Pantheon, but supporting it. And can't wait to grow in the world together.
Absolutely. Right on. And that's it for this week's community discussion.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it gets here, I just yell, "Mail!"
We're getting sued. By now, we all know what that song means. So we're going to go to the mailbox for two questions today, two quick ones before we get into our last section. So the mailbox today, we got a question from JJ. He says, "Today's generation of gamers lack patience more so than the previous generations. A lot of them have a I want it now or instant gratification mindset. Pantheon is a much slower game that rewards skill and patience. VR can only do so much without ruining their game tenets, leaving it up to the community to handle the rest." And he says, "As a member of our guild plus, how would you go about quelling someone's frustration if you pick them up in a group for a difficult encounter?"
That's a really good question. You want to take this one or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll take it. When we did our WoW guild, we pugged a lot. And it was for a few reasons. It was one, we would try to all get together. Maybe we needed like a couple DPS. So we would split the people up who wanted to go into like two groups, and each group would find a pug and move on. But like Poiru was a pug on a different server who joined up with us for a few times, and we took him on a couple pug raid nights, and then all of a sudden he switched server, became an officer of a guild, and now he's one of my best friends in the world. So awesome. I think pugging is really important, and I think that bringing people into what we hope to be will be a positive yet challenging environment, and plus being there to tell them, listen, don't worry about what you can't do. Let's talk about what you can do, and here's what we need you to do. Can you do that? If you don't know what you're doing or you don't understand something, we are here to answer questions. We want to be open door and let people learn from us if we are more advanced, or heck, learn from them if they're more advanced than us, right? Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is we just look for people to be part of the team. You know, it's not about one person. It'll never be about that. You know, follow the lead of whoever that might be at the time. And if you have questions, ask. I mean, to me, it's not difficult. You'll come across bad apples, but I don't, you guys should be able to tell by now with how I look positively at things. A few bad apples that come into the group and ruin the experience, I kick them out and it's over. And I don't care anymore about that. I just go straight to the next person and we bring someone in. That's it.
Yeah. And that's a good point. And in looking at it from a non-guild perspective, how do you deal with something like this? You know, I it's always about leading by example. That's kind of my philosophy in life, you know, in a lot of ways. I have two kids and I've tried to raise them by just leading by example. So if somebody is really jonesing for instant gratification and they're thinking, oh, this game, there's too slow and I can't get what I want right away, you know, I'll show them my epic weapon and I'll explain to them that it's hard to obtain, but the best stuff takes effort and patience, you know. I'm not going to try and convince them that they shouldn't feel the way they feel. That's their choice. I'm going to reinforce that you have a choice. You know, you can have instant gratification and you can feel good for a minute, or you can delay that gratification and feel good for a much longer time, right? It's always about your choice.
So, about the journey, right? It's not about the mountaintop.
Exactly. So I don't, you know, as much as I think that, and I don't necessarily agree with what JJ said about being a generational thing. I think that there's plenty of people from both generations that, you know, it's not an age thing necessarily. It's more about the state of the genre with, you know, what's being sort of.
And social media ties into it, right? Like getting that like and having that instant surge of positive feeling and just thriving that feeling, right? Like there's a lot to it. It's a lot more even outside of gaming.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. And then the last question here is from Gulu Gulu. He says in a Twitter poll that he read, 48.7% of people have responded to something, to someone competing for a named mob by training them. So I guess the question was something like, what would you do when you're competing with somebody for a mob? And I guess almost half the people are like, oh, just train them and kill them.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So he says, you know, when is toxic behavior okay? When is it okay to train, kill, steal? If you have someone ignored, blocked, do you still respect their camps? Derek, what do you think?
Yeah. You know, it's never okay. I mean, I this comes up a lot, you know, and we talk about a social game and how do you deal with bad behavior? And it's always the same thing. It's active GM involvement and it's having a strong community that can, you know, that can shun and, but also not shun, but like, you know, set the example and set the standard. You know, it's disheartening to hear that 48% of people responded. That's how they'd respond to that kind of a problem. And that's definitely an issue and a mentality I want to get away from. I would never do that. I'm just not saying I'm better than anybody else. It's just not how I play games and that's not how I operate. You know, the optimist to me would say that actually more people said they wouldn't do that. So that's kind of good. But of course that number's still way too high. You need a strong social norms in an MMO and you need active GM involvement. So many games these days, I feel like GM involvement is, it's just not there. They replace it with technical solutions because they don't want to pay for human resources of having a GM enforce the rules of the game, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's a good question. It's just, it's unfortunate to see that's the sort of the state of the genre, I guess.
So I would, if someone's ignored or blocked, I'd still respect their camp. That's, I mean, a camp's a camp, right?
Yeah.
If someone's super toxic and ruining the experience of me and my friends, I will retaliate.
Yeah.
I will never initiate, but I will retaliate. If someone kill steals us and trains us and over and over into a point of griefing, I will flex if I have to.
Well, and that's where you need to, yeah, exactly. I mean, I get that, but you also want to, the first option should be, you know, having a report, the ability to report somebody, ability to play with them. It's a game, you know, the games have rules, you know, and if the rules state, you know, training and bad behavior is against the rules, that's the end of the line, right? That's the end of the conversation. And,
well, Derek, we came from a generation, if we did something our parents didn't want us to do, what happened to us?
Well, we got punished or we were
smacked in grounded. The mouth. Or maybe don't say that again. Sometimes people just need a smack in the mouth. I don't know. Yeah. You know, you tell them over and over, right? We got enough training. No, we shouldn't have said those things to our parents, but we still did it anyway. Right. So train, you know, be there to say, listen, you know, try to have a conversation, try to be diplomatic, but when you can't, sometimes someone needs a slap in the mouth. That's all.
Can't disagree with that.
All right, that's it for the mailbox this week.
Sit back and relax. It's time for The Lore You Know. This week, I am excited to read to you some never before seen or heard lore. So this was lore I discovered while I was exploring the Fortress Devayer in our experience here. And when we saw Ko explore, he left a few loose ends that I had to track down. And I saw some things that he never interacted with that were begging to be checked out. So without further delay, let's read some lore. And the first one is one of the missing sections from the Book of the Aveloth, the Tome of the Human Pantheon of Deities. It's one of the Five of Contempt. Name is Althiros, Keeper of the Damned. And this is what it said. When souls depart the plane of mortality, it is said they are seated briefly before Nador, prior to being handed over to Corsera or Althiros for safe harbor. For the Keeper of the Damned, the office is one of steady warden, rather than eternal guardian. In deference to the judge of all, Althiros rarely makes a claim for souls, though a few over the centuries are rumored to have been specifically spoken for, and those are the worst of all humanity. Again, worship of Althiros is forbidden, though this ban is most readily enforced after the madness of King Alanthir, who sought to elevate Althiros after the death of his wife, Queen Coretti. His followers are notorious in reputation and appearance, wearing locks about their robes. This order practices the forbidden worship of the Keeper of the Damned. It is not that Althiros himself is maligned, although his terrifying office is kept out of most conversation, but that bowing to him or claiming to be his servant is reviled as sacrilege. Nonetheless, the members of this sect seek to elevate themselves in his sight and misuse his power to constrain the living. Thus, the locks, meant to signify Althiros's role as the deity who keeps the damned locked away, the holy Corsera, denote the strength and devotion of the membership. This reclusive order is growing in the dark light of hidden places and is best avoided at all costs. It's worth noting that some banshee have been drawn to sanctuaries dedicated to Althiros, though their ends are not well understood. Something else that caught my eye in the co-stream was a large map on the wall of the library, in the same area where the Book of the Aveloth was. And I was very much rewarded for my curiosity when I interacted with this map. Here's what I was told. The northernmost region says Frozenocta, with an unintelligible word scribbled below it. Nearby are a delicate drawing of a flower and a skull. Below Frozenocta, in the middle of an expanse of ocean, are a small string of four islands of descending size marked Azure Isles. The isles curve inward like a talon crested with a small icon, the title Fortress Devayer. The large ocean is labeled Bethrail Sea, with a drawing of a great swirling storm in the midst of it. Beneath the drawing, there is the title The Feuds. The outer edges of the storm have been scrawled over, as if adding to its size over time. In one corner of Frozenocta is a winged beast, possibly a dragon, but it bears no name. And that's the lore you know.
All right, everybody. So normally we'd end the show here, but we announced there would be a very big announcement. And I am so excited to step completely aside for this one because I am so pumped about this. We've worked a lot on this. So Theric, it's all your time here to announce this awesome news. Go for it.
Right on. So, you know, I've whet your appetite with that bit of new lore there. Excellent as always. Very excited to announce we're going to be interviewing Pantheon's lead writer, none other than lore master himself, Mr. J.N. Estulame Gerhardt, for an upcoming episode of The Rewind. We've got the interview scheduled, we've got our questions teed up, and I am absolutely cannot wait to bring you some lore beans from the lore master himself, like I said. So be sure to tune into The Rewind. I think we're going to do it, air the interview Sunday, March 21st, as it lines up right now, but that might change, but stay tuned. It's going to be a great one. And, you know, we don't know how long it's going to go. We might get really chatty with Jan. It might even be a two-parter. So you never know. But to say I'm excited would be a complete understatement. This is something that I've been looking forward to for a very long time, as you can imagine. And we're gonna have a great time. So something to look forward to down the road. What do you think? Is he excited for this?
Yeah, super excited. And you're being super humble saying, we, guys, this is Theric's world. I'll be there recording, keeping my mouth shut for most of this because I want these two lore aficionados to chat and dig in and really have the spotlight. So, Ben Dean might be there as well, but you probably can expect to hear very little from Ben Dean and myself and really hear these two be able to dig into this lore and get some beans for us and maybe even learn more about the races or classes in the game. And so really I'll be there to say hi. I hit the record button, do some editing, but this is Theric's opportunity because he earned it. He's been an amazing front man for the lore. And it's just going to be awesome. I don't think there's a better person in the entire community that could interview JN like Theric will be able to. So I'm pumped for this, and I think you guys will love it.
Yeah, no, thanks for saying that, man. I really appreciate it. And I like I said, I'm gonna do my best, and we're gonna have a great time. So yeah, it's gonna be awesome. So looking forward to it.
Awesome, everybody. Well, that's another episode of The Rewind in the Books. Theric, as always, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who supports us with the positivity, the feedback, the likes, the shares, the comments, the questions, and everything else that you guys do. You make this awesome, and we can't wait to drive from this episode number 46 up to 100 and more and more and more. And even as Pantheon's coming out, you know, we want The Rewind to live on, I think. Love it. Thank you, guys, and keep being a part. Thanks, everybody.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Pantheon Plus Rewind. Be sure to follow Minus and all Pantheon Plus related content on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube under the name Pantheon Plus. Also, be sure to follow Theric at Pantheon Theric on Twitter. Keep up to date on all Pantheon Rise of the Fallen information on www.pantheon.plus, the definitive source for all media of Pantheon. Until next time.